At Journey Beyond Divorce, we understand that navigating through the emotional tsunami of separation and divorce is one of the hardest journeys you'll take. And we know that once the initial fear and pain begins to pass, a whole new storm of confusion, uncertainty, and self-doubt can surface. Journey Beyond Divorce can help you identify and clarify where you're feeling stuck and what steps you need to move forward, even if they're just baby steps. We guide you with practical, tangible support that you can start implementing right away. Our team of experienced divorce coaches is ready to help you. Listen through the show because we have a gift just for you. It'll help you navigate your divorce with more calm and confidence.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Journey Beyond Divorce with Karen McMahon, a 12-part series to help you through the process of divorce and life after divorce. And Karen will be bringing on a special guest today, one of her team members. Carrie Doubt will join us, locked in the pain, fear, and chaos of divorce. We're going to show you an explosive practice to liberate you. And before I bring them on, I want to mention the website where you can get more information on Karen and her team members and all the support they offer you. And I highly recommend you check it out. The website is journeybeyonddivorce.com. And while you're out there, you'll see all the information. You'll also have the opportunity to sign up for the ebook, Divorce, Stepping Out of Chaos. That book is available through the website or through Amazon.com. You can never have too many resources. Trust me on that. And while we're talking social media, how about their Facebook page? They have a new community Facebook page, a private page. I'll talk to Karen about that later. But it's facebook.com/Journey Beyond Divorce Community. And without further ado, let's bring on the host of the show. It's Karen McMahon. How are you, Karen?
I'm great, Steve. It's exciting to be here with you today.
And we have a new guest.
Yes, I'd like to introduce Carrie Doubt. She's one of the members of our coaching team. And like many of our listeners, Carrie experienced divorce and parenting as a single mom after a 13-year marriage and is now happily remarried.
Yes.
And Carrie joined our team last year. She has a deep desire to support and encourage those navigating divorce, but she also brings a really unique expertise with extensive experience in spiritual psychology, grief coaching, and transition coaching. And so I'm really excited to have Carrie with us today. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you, Karen. It's really great to be here. I appreciate the invitation to speak with you and the listeners.
Hey, before we get into the topic, Karen, you and I talked off air briefly about the new Facebook page. Would you explain that to me? Because when you said it's private, I thought, wow, that's cool, because we have a Facebook page as well, but it's not private. And sometimes when people are going through a divorce, they kind of want to keep that to themselves. So what is it all about, your new Facebook page?
We reached out to a lot of people to ask them what they needed in terms of support, and it turned out that having an online community was really high on people's request. And so what we did was we created a closed group. And so the closed group enables you to go in and share whatever you want to share, and it doesn't show up on your feed, and it doesn't show that you're part of the Journey Beyond Divorce community. And so it's like going into a private room and talking to other people all around the world who are in the, you know, beginning, middle, or post stages of divorce, and sharing your story, getting advice, getting encouragement, getting support. And our coaches, our entire team, will be jumping in and doing a little coaching here and there as well. And so we're really hoping that it's just another free resource that people can step into and get the kind of support that they need.
Well, thanks for doing that. It's a great idea. We're on show two now. I've already heard from listeners from all over the country. I know people have reached out to you. And I really want to recommend to our listeners that this is the place when you're going through all of this pain, fear, and chaos that is divorce, that you can get support through these divorce coaches They are talented, they're a team, and they're there to help you. So please reach out to their website, Journey Beyond Divorce. You won't be sorry you did, and you'll learn more about what they do in this episode, Locked in the Pain, Fear, and Chaos of Divorce. Karen?
Great. Thanks, Steve. Last time we spoke, it was really about what was going on in our head. And today is about what happens in our heart and with our emotions. And whether you're in the beginning, middle, or even post stages of divorce, if you're in that place where there's just a tremendous amount of emotional angst, whether it's fear and pain, whether it's anger and bitterness, it feels very much like being locked in a prison. And we want to talk today about that, because when we're in that place, there's a real sense of powerlessness and as if we don't have a way out or any way to free ourselves. And the practice that we're going to share with you today and the conversation that we're going to have is really to help you see how you actually have a lot more control and choices than it seems, and that there is a way to begin to shift those powerful emotions that into a way that serves you much better. And I'm just going to start with one of the key things that happens, which is denial. It's the first stage of grief, and it's one of the first places where we go, where it's like, this is not happening. You are not doing this. I am not going through this. And it's just like shutting down so much, and like, I cannot deal with it. And denial in its early stages is incredibly valuable, because it's a buffer. It's almost like an airbag that helps us to buffer ourselves from the trauma of what's going on. And at the same time, when we stay in denial for too long a period of time, it doesn't serve us anymore. And, you know, I had a client, 45 years married, and when her husband was leaving her for a younger woman, the shock and devastation was so huge that I could see the buffer of denial around her and how she would work little by little in drops to let in reality. And so if that speaks to you, one of the things that Carrie and I are going to say throughout this show is, this is going to sound so hard to hear, but you're exactly where you're supposed to be. There's and what you're feeling, there's reasons for it, and there's ways out. And that's really what our show today is about.
Yes, absolutely. If you think about it, we're wired to avoid pain. You know, avoiding pain is normal. It's protection, really. So think about physical pain. You know, you learn as a little kid, you know, don't touch the stove. And then guess what? You touch the stove and it's hot and you burn yourself. You really learn at an early age to avoid anything that's going to cause pain. So when we're working with helping people with their painful experiences, it's kind of counterintuitive. What we're saying to them is an opportunity to open to the pain instead of avoiding it. But at the beginning, it's really important to say that the role of denial as a coping mechanism is really important. And the way it's important is, it's so we're not overwhelmed by too much pain all at once. So we talk about, as you were talking about the drops of pain, Karen, it's like we talk about dosing ourselves with pain. It's like we let in just a little bit, just as much as we can handle at one time, and we work with that, and then we're ready for our next dose.
And one of the things that I think is important, because we're going to talk about the role of judgment. We all have so much judgment. And in this particular case, we each have our own pace. And, you know, your neighbor, your girlfriend, your brother might be telling you that you should be moving on. You should be pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You should be over this already. Yeah. I call it shoulding. People will should on you all of the time, right?
Absolutely.
What we want to say is, you have your own pace. That's how you have been created, and that's your pace. And so rather than judging yourself as moving too fast, moving too slow, you're exactly where you are. And when you can just accept, this is where I am, what's my next step, and what can I learn from where I am, that's where the treasures are, and that's where things begin to open up.
That's so true, because if you think about it, as a society, we're not comfortable with uncomfortable emotions. Response to our, sadness and anger and those painful, explosive emotions is to avoid and shut them down. But that's also can take place in our society as well. It's like, oh, don't feel that. Don't feel that way. You know, so being comfortable with uncomfortable emotions is really a big concept to start to open into. And it's one of the very first steps towards freeing ourselves from the prison.
Yeah, and honoring where we're at. And yeah. The other thing that I think is so important to kind of throw right out on the table in the beginning is all of the fiery emotions that come right after denial. Anger, hostility, blame, disappointment, deep discouragement, fear, hopelessness, anxiety, loneliness. I could keep going on, and I'm sure if you're listening, you've got a couple you want to throw out as well, right? I mean, they're so powerful and overwhelming. For most of us, when these emotions flare, what we do is we look outside of ourselves. Like, if I'm feeling that, somebody caused it. And if you're listening to this show, it's probably your soon-to-be ex, right? And so there's just this powerful thing that happens. Eckhart Tolle calls it the pain body. Something happens and you literally feel this wave of heat start from your toes and fly up to your head. Your hands are in the air. You're yelling and screaming. You're crossing your arms and shutting down, whatever your thing is, but you're in full out emotional reaction.
Absolutely. And this is, it's normal. It's natural. Everybody does this. And it's important to know that it completely bypasses our rational, our problem solving, abilities, our intellect. There's no thought. We're just in pain. We attack or we defend or we retreat.
Yeah. And that's such a key. I just want to repeat that. When you're in an emotional reaction, your thought process is temporarily shut down. So you are not going to engage in a rational conversation when you're in emotional reaction or when the person that you're engaged with is in an emotional reaction. And we do it all the time, and we might as well talk to a wall. And it's not their fault, and it's not our fault. It's just what happens. And so once you know, wow, that makes sense. You know what? That's why I can't, if you've ever wanted to have a conversation and the other person gets upset and you start forgetting everything that you wanted to say, it's because you're having an emotional reaction. And all those thoughts, just like they just got shut down, they just got washed away temporarily. And so to know that when you're in emotional reaction, you need to honor that and not try to engage in a rational conversation, because it's simply not going to happen in that moment.
It's not the best time to make important decisions either, right?
Oh, absolutely not at all.
And oddly enough, we're all expected to go to work and to take care of our kids and act like none of this is going on when all of this is going on.
That's absolutely. Really, and Steve, to that point, what I like to say to people is, imagine, we're all on the computer these days. Imagine that you're on your computer and you have to download some megaton database. What happens? Your programs don't open up. They don't save as quick. You can't go on the internet as quick. Like, everything starts glitching and slowing down. That's what happens to us when we're going through divorce, whether we're thinking about what's going on in the background or we're in emotional reaction. And so we can't possibly be on the top of our game. And it's another place for self-care and for honoring that I am where I am and all I can do is my best in this moment.
Right. And, you know, the interesting thing is long after the event's over, you know, we can relive it. You know, we can just keep rehashing, you know, those feelings, the triggers, everything that happened, you know, for minutes, hours, days, whatever, years, you know. So, you know, what we want to talk about is a way, you know, to, when we're in that reactivity, our everything is happening very quickly. Right. So what's the antidote to that? It's slowing down. It's slowing it down and choosing to stay with yourself while you're in the pain of the emotion that, you know, is depleting you. So, you know, we have an exercise that we use as our coach in our coaching with people when they're really inflamed, you know, to just, you know, let's just stop for a moment. And where do you feel this emotion in your body? And that allows the person to really drop out of that reactivity and just go inwards and reflect.
And a couple of questions to add to that, because it's really important. When you begin to focus on physically what's happening in your body when you're in emotional reaction, where is it in your body? How is it moving? Is it pulsating? Is it swirling? Does it feel hot? Does it feel cold? How fast is it going? You start thinking about all these things, and you, so someone might say, you know, I feel it right in my chest. And does it feel heavy? And how is it moving? And you begin to focus so much on what your physical body is doing. What typically happens is the physical reaction begins to minimize. And the reason is because you're no longer focusing on the thought or the situation that got you so upset. And so you begin to calm. And it's an incredible, it's one of the tools we're talking about today. It's an incredible exercise and powerful tool to really pull yourself out of that emotional reaction.
Absolutely. And feeling this in your body can be the first step to healing, because we're acknowledging, you know, what's going on, the bad feelings, the sadness, the anger, the fear, the guilt. And where is it in my body? And oftentimes I'll actually work with a client and just have them, once they've located where it is, just take it and float it outside their body. And then we can actually take a really good look at it. And this starts to engage our mind in a way that's helpful rather than, you know, just generating more pain.
And once you start doing this, what we were talking about a minute ago, and I had so much experience with this when I was going through my divorce, the whole idea of reliving something. I had about a 40-minute drive to work every day, and it turned out to be like the only place I wanted to be was on the highway. I didn't want to be at work and I didn't want to be at home. And then I'd be on the highway and the sun could be shining and everything could be fine. And all of a sudden I start thinking about that interaction I had with my husband in the morning, and I'm getting angry and I'm holding the steering wheel really tight and my pulse is picking up and my jaw is clenching, and now I'm miserable and I'm angry and I've got all these emotions. Now, nothing happened except that my thoughts went back to something that had occurred before. It wasn't a present moment thing. And so this exercise allows you to, number one, notice when you're reliving, and then shift from the story of what happened to the physical sensations. And it will be such, it helps you have a much quicker release of that emotional reaction.
Absolutely. It starts to help you distance yourself from the emotion a little bit, just a little bit of distance, so you can look at it, so you can start to activate your thinking process to actually help you to move forward from it. And, you know, we had talked, Karen, about one of the functions of denial is helping us, you know, back off from feeling everything at once. One of the things I want to talk about next is resistance, you know, because when we're feeling resistant to our feelings, you know, it's going to show up in a few different ways, like stuffing our feelings. I think we're all familiar with that. You know, we have a feeling, oh, well, let me go eat something. Well, let me go, you know, do something that's going to stuff that feeling further down so I don't really have to feel it.
And I think that brings us back to what you said earlier. We live in a society where there's so much, if you look at how our society is, there are so many people who, instead of addressing their emotions head on and facing them, we work too much. We work out a lot. We watch Netflix sitcoms all weekend long. There's so many different things that we do to run away from the pain of the emotional angst. And I think that's what you're talking about now, Carrie.
Yeah. We stuff the feelings. We numb them by, you know, like you said, watching TV. We busy ourselves. You know, we run around, you know, doing all of the PTA meetings and the working, you know, diving into our work and just keeping really busy to, you know, try and outrun our feelings.
Yeah, and it's so funny because if you think about it, I know that one of the first answers I seem to get when I ask someone how they're doing, like, hey, how are you doing? More than ever before, the answer is busy, yeah. Right? And so, oh my God, I have so much to do. I run to and fro all day long. And what are we running away from?
Yeah.
And what happens when we slow down? And in our society, there's certain messages that we're given. And so, there's so many people on anti-anxiety medication. We have a lot of addiction. We have a lot of alcoholism. We have a lot of people who are depressed, and so they're on medication for depression. And so there's all of this going on, and I'm not saying that there isn't a place for that, but in our particular society where we have so much, we all seem to be running from the thing that we can't run from. Because no matter where we go, no matter how fast we run, no matter how hard we try, there we are with all of our pain.
And we'll be back with more of the show after this.
We're there right when you need us the most. And we make sure you have all the tools and resources at your fingertips, guiding and supporting you between calls to be more effective.
I was very fortunate to find Journey Beyond Divorce. I would go searching for any piece of information that could either A, give me more knowledge about the divorce process itself, or B, could talk me down emotionally. And I found that Journey Beyond Divorce was really instrumental in providing both things. One, the guidance of the divorce process itself, as well as talking about self-maintenance and what does the individual need to do to kind of cope with it.
Let us help you gain a broader perspective and determine your best next steps with our free Rapid Relief Lifeline call. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call.
You know, another thing that we do is by staying in blame and staying and focusing on what the other person is doing, that's a really good way for us to avoid, well, how am I doing inside, you know?
And that brings us to our second practice. Carrie, can you talk a little bit about the breathing practice and centering?
Sure. And this is something that you can use both when you are in the heat of a situation where you're triggered. And we'll talk about that, but we'll also talk about just doing this as a discipline or a practice that you can do to sort of set yourself up for experiencing more calm in the beginning of your day. So what I call this is it's a breath practice. It's really a centering. So say, for instance, you have an awareness that you're triggered, you're out of balance, you're in reactivity. And you know, what you want to do is first honor that awareness. It's like, I'm really upset here. And then the second step is to disengage. You know, if you're in conversation with someone, your kids, your ex, and you're triggered, you want to disengage by saying, you know what, I recognize that I'm really upset and out of balance right now. I'm going to need to just step away from the conversation, and we'll pick it up later when I can contribute to it in a helpful way. So you disengage. And also you can disengage, you know, from a conversation you're having in your head that's really triggering, explosive emotions. So you just disengage, you press the pause button, you take yourself out of the situation, you may go to a different room. You know, going to the restroom in your office is often a great way. You know, it's easy to excuse yourself, I need to go to the ladies' room. So you're going to take some time and some space to yourself. And go ahead, Karen.
I from a very young age, I gave my children an opportunity to ask for a timeout. They were very young when we got divorced. And so my son was particularly angry and he would act out. And I told him at any point in time, even if I'm in the middle of, reprimanding you for something, if you feel that you're emotionally triggered and you need a timeout, I want you to know that you can ask for it. And it ended up, my son's now 19. Now I ask for timeouts. But it ended up being this incredible gift, because throughout his teenage years, he would say, I need a timeout. And he would leave the house sometimes 11 o'clock at night. He'd walk around the block or do whatever he'd do and then come back and be like, okay, Mom, now I can talk. And without even explaining to him intellectually what was going on, that is now a part of how he deals with his emotions. He knows it. He senses, okay, I'm in a bad place. I really need some space. And so both of my children know that. And now, again, my kids are 17 and 19, and so there's just a lot that goes on. And there are times where I say, guys, I need a timeout. We're going to pick this up again in a half hour. I'm about to say something I don't want to say. I'm upset in a way I don't want to be. And so we give each other the space so that we can come back to that rational conversation. And so I know we're talking about breath practice, but even giving yourself the permission in the heat of a moment to step away, because you know that you're all in your emotion and that your head is in an emotional fog and you can't think straight. It's a gift, and not only to you, but even if the other person doesn't want you to walk away because they're so involved in the engagement, you're actually doing them a favor too by taking that time and getting yourself recentered and clear so that you can engage productively.
Yeah, I so agree with you, because if we continue to engage from that place, it's just like throwing gasoline on a fire. It's really not going to help. So people have different ways that they're able to center themselves. You know, walking around the block is such a great example of that. And, you know, one that I teach to my clients is, again, just taking the time out, getting away from the situation, closing your eyes, and just focus on your breath. Just listen to yourself breathe. Feel yourself breathe. And at the beginning, you may be breathing really fast and shallow and heavy because you're upset. But just with the awareness of focusing there, it starts to slow down. Your breathing starts to slow down. Your thoughts start to slow down. And just by keeping your awareness on the breath, it's an automatic way to calm yourself down.
You know, and whether you consider, you know, we all hear about meditation and meditation, transcendental meditation. These are all phenomenal practices, and they begin by giving yourself the space that we're talking about. So we're not suggesting that you take on some huge new practice at this point, but I don't know that there's any new clients that I end up talking to where I don't invite them to begin to notice their breath and to do that kind of breath work. A lot of times I have clients who'll tell me, you know, I always ask, like, what's your worst time of day? And oftentimes it's bedtime, it's driving to and from work. And at bedtime, it's often that you can't stop your thoughts, and so you can't fall asleep. That's another wonderful time to just lay in bed and start paying attention. I breathe in, I breathe out. I breathe in, I breathe out. And all of a sudden, your mind's going to be off on the situation you're afraid of or the argument that you had. And as soon as you notice, and the funny thing is in the beginning, it takes us a while to notice, but as soon as you notice where your thought is, that your mind is now attached to this thought, you just let it go, just like it's a butterfly. You let that thought go, you don't attach to it, and you come back. And the one thing we always do is breathe. And so it's such, no matter where you go, you have your breath. So you always have the ability to just start focusing on the air entering your lungs and leaving your lungs, or, you know, entering your nostrils and leaving your nostrils. And so it's a very gentle, simple practice. And in the beginning, I often suggest, you know, start, see if you can do it for 3 minutes. If you're sitting, like early in the day, see if you can sit for 3 minutes. You'll get all twitchy, your mind will start telling you you have other things to do, that this is, like, you know, unproductive. And just watch it. Just watch where your mind goes. And then once you can do 3 minutes, you say, okay, I'll try 4 or 5. And you step it up. And you will very quickly begin to notice the benefit and the value of that quiet time.
I think Science has even shown that shallow breathing can actually create a state of panic. And when we get really stressed out, we don't realize that we're in the shallow breathing, and you're not breathing properly, and you're deprived oxygen, and all of a sudden you're hyperventilating. And that was all a byproduct of not breathing properly. That's why I love what you're saying, by just focus on the breath, deep in, deep out. And, you know, Karen, the mind that you talked about, the negative mind chatter that starts at night, that was something that got to me. That's why I tried to do my meditative experience in the afternoon before, because a lot of times, as you mentioned earlier, in today's day and age, we're on the phone, we're in the car, we're on the radio, we never unplug. So we never allow our minds to think through anything on our own. So when you finally shut off all that external stimulus at bedtime, guess what happens? It all comes in.
In a very big way. I have one of my clients made a commitment maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago to turn off all electronics after, I think it was 9 o'clock. And she said, it's been miraculous. Yeah. She said, I read, I meditate, I go to bed, there's no TV, there's no Facebook, there's no computer. And by shutting all of that noise down, she gives herself that space before her head hits the pillow to process, and she's sleeping like a baby.
Great.
And one of the ways that technology can help us is, you know, there are so many resources out there for what we call guided meditations. And this can be really helpful if you feel really confronted with just sitting in the silence. So this is listening to an audio where they actually guide you through a meditative process. And, you know, there's a lot of apps out there for that. Calm is one. I know that we have one on our YouTube channel for Journey Beyond Divorce. And that's a 7-minute meditation that I actually did that is just, it's really, you know, a centering and a settling process. And the thing is, if you have some kind of a regular mindfulness or meditation practice, like you said, 5 minutes in the morning or so, this is enough to train yourself that you can find that calm place inside of yourself no matter what's going on. It's like, you know, that you can disengage and you can find your way back to that calm center. And it's such an important part of gaining a sense of empowerment over what's going on in your life.
And when we do it in the most turbulent times of our life, like divorce, it becomes a habit, and a good one. So for me, before I do these radio talk shows and before I do public speaking engagements, I always sit and center myself and I let everything else go so that I can be fully present and as clear as possible when I'm engaging with audiences like here. And so it's just, it's all good. And it's one of the many ways, one of the things that we talk about constantly is using your greatest challenges and struggles to grow. And this is one of the ways where you can begin to step into a practice that you hold on to for the rest of your life that just benefits you immensely.
Yes. And Karen, you mentioned at the beginning of our talk, you talked about judgment and the way judgment can come in that's not helpful. Well, it's not helpful ever, but is when we judge our emotions. You know, our feelings, they aren't right or wrong. They're not good or bad. They just are. You know, all they are is they are the energy that comes from our thoughts. It's the energy in motion. So when we are not judging our thoughts as good and bad, or right and wrong, especially as bad and wrong, we're allowing ourselves permission, you know, to feel the way that we feel. And then it opens the door to the prison. You know, the judgment keeps us locked inside. We say, I'm bad for feeling this way. And we just really work with people to say, none of your feelings are bad, and you certainly aren't a bad person for feeling the way you feel. There's perfectly valid reasons for the way you feel. So we start to talk about the gift of acknowledging our feelings. It's like, yes, I feel angry. Yes, I feel sad. And then by validating them, by saying, and I have, you know, very good reason to feel that way. I have every right to feel the way that I feel.
And, you know, the bottom line is there are many times where those uncomfortable feelings are actually very productive. I was in an abusive relationship, and it wasn't until I got angry enough that I did something about it. And so there are times where your anger or your reaction may lead to that kind of fight or flight chemical reaction that serves you really well. And so in general, if you're feeling it, you're feeling it. Judging it doesn't make it go away. It actually usually makes it harder. And so one of the things we really want to encourage you to do is begin to notice when you judge your feelings and see if you can step into a place of self-love and self-care and let go of that judgment. That's going to be step one. Step two, and a much harder one, I will admit, is noticing when you judge your spouse's emotions. And ultimately, and I never thought I'd be able to do this, but over the course of time, the gift of letting go of that judgment, while my ex experienced some of that gift, I experienced a lot of it, because when we let go of that judgment, it frees us up to access the more life-enhancing emotions that are available to us.
Yes. And, you know, what is it that leads to powerful emotions? I know that you and Lisa talked in your first show about separating the thought from the thinker. You know, it's our thoughts. Our feelings begin with our thoughts. The thoughts create the energy blocks that trigger our emotional reactions. So, like, for example, one of the things that we do when we're upset is we can look to our thoughts and see where we're making assumptions. Like, for example, you know, my husband was always late in picking up my daughter for her visitation. And, and even the way I said it, he was late maybe twice, but I blew this all out of proportion by saying he's always late. And so we assume just because something happened in the past, it's going to happen again.
Yeah, there are a number of different things that can really trigger us, and making assumptions, all four of these that Carrie and I are about to talk about, they all lock us back up in the prison. And because we're not conscious that we're doing it, again, what I had said earlier is we turn around and we focus on the other person as the reason for our emotional angst. And yet when you think about it, if you make an assumption, because it happened before, it's going to happen again, that's not true. That's not true. And yet, if you're absolutely certain that it's true and that's your belief and that's what you're standing on, you can help create it happen again and again and again. And so you create the very reality that you don't want.
Absolutely.
Another one is interpretations. And I have a client who he was divorced. He came to me post-divorce, had two young boys and a very contentious co-parenting relationship with his ex-wife. And she was not only difficult, she had some personality issues. She had some pretty serious narcissism. And everything he looked at was she was doing this to him and she was making his life miserable. And so he was so angry and victimized all the time. And when we began to look at what happens with a narcissist, and I'm just going to take a minute here. When you're on the narcissistic spectrum, and especially if you're a little bit up it or toward the high end of it, you know, it's almost like being colorblind. You don't see your part. You're wired to not see your part. So you never take responsibility. And when he began to see that everything that she did was rooted in this personality disorder that she had, and it wasn't personal to him. It didn't feel good, but it wasn't about her doing to him. He was able to take the interpretation of she's trying to screw me and she's trying to hurt me and say, wow, she's always shown up this way. She's always going to show up this way. I'm so glad I don't show up that way. How can I respond differently? And it was like he was free. He came back to me the week after we had this session, and he said, I cannot believe how different my experience of the same behaviors was this past week. It was so powerful.
Yeah, that's a powerful example of really looking and challenging those interpretations.
And we have so many of them. And so for those of you listening, I really encourage you to take a moment and think about what's happening in your life, you know, with your soon-to-be ex or your ex that you're co-parenting with, or if you have teenage kids, which we know can be a challenging time. What are you interpreting? And I had my son and I had a conversation, and I interpreted him as being painfully disrespectful when he wasn't. Where are you creating interpretations that may not be true and that definitely are not serving you and benefiting you? And that's the first step, is just noticing where they are. And again, we're going to talk, our entire next show is about our thoughts and all of these different obstacles that we run into. So we'll be talking more about that next month.
Yes. Yeah. And so, go ahead.
Well, the other one that I do want to mention is limiting beliefs. And, you know, our limiting beliefs range from being raised in a Catholic household, and so feeling like you're bad or you're guilty or you're going to go to hell because you're going through a divorce. Or your limiting belief can be that you can't do something because somebody said that you're not good enough. I had a client who was married to a very wealthy man who had some addiction issues, and it was so clear there was abuse, there was addiction, there was alcoholism, and yet she was raised in a household with a lot of judgment and unforgiveness, and she was drenched in it, and her belief was she failed and she should have been able to fix this marriage. And it was a lot of work to get her to understand that this belief of hers, like she was so powerful that she should be able to change this individual, change his behaviors, change his addictions, because she was the wife and she should have been able to hold it all together. And it kept her in such a prison. And when she was able to and this was many, many conversations, which is the benefit of coaching, when she was able to say, hear herself start on that story and then say, well, wait a second. You know what, Karen, we've talked about this. I'm not that powerful. She was able to break open, you know, her prison door and start seeing what was going on as something other than her failing.
Yeah. And not only that, we start to take a look at those limiting beliefs that have been passed down from our parents or from our teachers or society, where, you know, in your example, maybe a limiting belief was it's the wife's job to fix the relationship. And because it's my job to fix it and I didn't, I'm a failure. And that leads me to the inner critic. You know, the inner critic is the most painful. We all have that. You know, that really snarky voice in your head that says, there must be something wrong with me. You know, it just takes all of this evidence of what's going on and uses it against yourself. And some of the deepest, most hurtful examples of this is when my clients say, you know what, I really believe I'm unlovable. You know, I really feel worthless, you know, as a result of what I've gone through with this marriage and the dissolving of it. You know, we beat ourselves up. And so that inner critic is another one that we really look at, because when that voice starts going, it takes our emotions, our energy right down into a negative spiral.
And I our next show, step three is feeling helpless, the key to communicating with confidence. And our entire next show is going to be digging into these assumptions, interpretations, limiting beliefs, and the inner critic, and really helping you to see where those thoughts are showing up in your life and in your day-to-day so that you can begin to make those shifts. And so this is just that our thoughts are such a root to our emotions. And so while today we're talking about emotional reactions, tune into our next show and you're really going to understand a lot more of the root of how that begins.
Yeah. Because when, you know, when these negative thoughts or these energy blocks get activated, our feelings are going to go negative. We lose access to the helpful thoughts. We get into an emotional fog.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we didn't talk about earlier, we talked about how we go on attack and how we shut down. The other thing that we do, and this was just such a shock to me when I realized I was doing it, is we project. And it's probably one of the hardest things to be truthful with ourselves about. My dad was sick with lung cancer a couple of years ago. He died in 2012, and it was about 13 months. And my dad was married to somebody who had some real personality disorders. And she was one of the most difficult, downright mean women that I had experienced. But when Dad was in his last months, I was so focused on what a wretched individual she was. And I was, even though I'm coaching all these other people, I was so in the midst of, she did some pretty horrible things to my dad when he was in hospice and stuff like that. But I reached out for some coaching around it because I was just, I was paralyzed by my anger and my frustration. And what was very quickly revealed, and she was so judgmental of me and my sisters, and I was like, you know, who does she think she is? And what was immediately revealed was how judgmental I was of her. And I was like, oh my God. It was like someone put a mirror up in front of me. And of course, the first thought was, well, she deserves my judgment, right? Which I can laugh at now. But the moment that I became aware that the very thing I'm criticizing her for, I'm doing, that's projection, right? When you tell the other person, you know, and you're projecting on them what you're angry about them doing when you're actually doing the same thing, and noticing that, and then letting go and accepting, and we're going to have a whole show on acceptance, but accepting that here this woman was, she's got her personality disorders, and you know what? As nasty and mean as she was being, she was losing her husband, and she was handling it the only way she knew how, in her own brokenness. And when I was able to let go of judgment, I received the greatest gift I've had in my life, which was my ability to sit by my dad's side during his last hours and honor him and love him without any focus on her and her behavior. And had I not let go of that, I would have robbed myself of like these precious, precious moments that I had with my dad. And so it was so worth looking in the mirror and humbling myself and seeing my part in all of that emotional angst that I had.
It's such a great example of what you gain by being willing, you know, to identify a projection, to own it. You go, how do I do the thing that upsets me about the other person's behavior? Right. And then when we own it and we go, yeah, under certain circumstances, I can be just as judgmental. I can just do exactly the same things that are so upsetting. And so we just sort of let it go. We just go, it's not about her. Let me just now take that energy that I've been taking and thrusting at her. Let me just take it back and focus it on what's important to me. And that was being with your dad. So what a beautiful story of the power of taking our energy back in that way.
Absolutely. Thank you. You know, we've talked about so many different things during the show today, the different emotions that you go through, the noticing when you're running away from those emotions and stuffing or numbing or you know, focusing outwardly. And one of the things that you're going to hear if you're listening throughout all of our shows is that what we really encourage you to do is have a mirror at all times where you're keeping the focus on yourself. And so if you're in those stages where you're still living under the same roof, where there's a lot of contention, noticing when you get triggered, when you're angry, giving yourself the time and space to feel your feelings, stepping away from the conflict or the contention or the confrontation, knowing that nothing positive is going to happen during that time, that no rational conversation is going to be engaged with during that time where either you or your spouse are triggered. And to really use the exercises of the breath work, whether it's the centering, the timeout, the where do I feel it in my body, giving yourself that space and picking up one of those tools and really beginning to practice them and use them and slow things down. And what we promise will happen when you do that is the level of contention and the level of angst will begin to come down a little bit, and you will feel more in control. You'll be able to begin to take back your power, because when you're angry and upset and hurt and bitter, the other person isn't doing it to you. It's your emotional response to what's going on. And when you begin to have all of those emotions go down, think of it this way. When the emotions go down, the emotional fog in your mind goes down, and this sunny clarity happens so that you can think clear, you can make your points, you can see more choices that are available to you, and you can begin to act on those choices in a way that really can benefit you.
That is the truth. And, you know, this is, Karen, this is about self-mastery. And it's not really easy. We're not going to say that this is an easy approach, but it is powerful. And, you know, what can we do when we're really feeling overwhelmed and in extreme difficulty with dealing with our emotions? You know, working with a coach sometimes is such a powerful way because we're able to slow things down, have the witnessing and the understanding of somebody there with you, and just start to think about things, you know, to help you understand what triggers you, slow you down, and to focus on your solutions rather than the problems.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to take this minute because we just offer so many free resources. And so we spoke earlier in the show about the Facebook community page where you can really gather with people going through the same experience. We also have local support groups, and we're launching virtual support groups. It's either going to be by phone or on Skype. Again, as another opportunity for a fairly low cost to connect with other people and to have a sounding board in both your peers and your coach. But even beyond that, there's over 200 articles on the website on everything: fear, loneliness, emotional triggering, how to start dating after divorce, challenges with co-parenting, you name it, you'll find it there. And I think to Carrie's point, there are times where we can read about it, we can listen to podcasts, and we can really move forward. And then there are times, like with me and my dad and his wife, where we're stuck. And it may be a single situation, and it may be a season where talking to someone on a regular basis, having a sounding board, creating an action plan, and moving forward is one of the most valuable investments that we can make. And so for those of you listening, you know where you're at, and you probably have a fairly good sense of what you need. And what I do want to say is, if you think you could benefit from coaching, the first coaching session with Journey Beyond Divorce is always on the house. We want you to see the value. We want you to meet the coach. We want you to be certain that this is the right avenue for you before you invest a dollar. And so you can reach out to us through the website, through the contact page, and we can have that conversation. And I just want to, I kind of want to summarize, because this is a 12-step program. So step one is where we began to separate ourselves as the thinker from the thought. And we talked about a practice of mindfulness, of slowing down and becoming aware of our thoughts and our reactions. And you can listen to that show if you hadn't. And then today, of course, is the practice of embracing our emotions and really honoring when we're charged and noticing, noticing when we avoid, and stepping into even a further practice of breath work and meditation and centering. And then in our next show, step three, it's going to be feeling helpless, the key to communicating with confidence. And we're going to be exploring our thoughts in greater detail, how they trigger our emotions, and a practice that really enables us to be present, clear, and better able to communicate. And who wouldn't want that as they're going through divorce?
Absolutely.
Everyone, thank you, Karen McMahon, so much for bringing Journey Beyond Divorce to Divorce Force Radio. You're helping thousands. Their website, journeybeyonddivorce.com. What you do is something I always tell our listeners is something that doesn't cost. In my mind, it pays. It really does. We do have that choice, and we can become better or bitter. I love what you do. I highly recommend our listeners check you guys out. And Carrie Dowd, thank you for being a guest.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Karen.
At Journey Beyond Divorce, we know that sometimes the most powerful support we can offer is to help you process the storm of emotions you're experiencing and gently challenge the beliefs that are keeping you stuck.
The way Karen delivers her program is that she validates the feelings, the emotions, the ups, the downs. She hones in on the specifics that really talk to that particular person when they're going through this crazy emotional time.
Let us be a beacon in the midst of this crazy emotional time. Book a free lifeline call with us to help lift the fog and begin practicing new ways of thinking, being, and doing that better support you as you journey through and beyond divorce. Our gift to you is taking that first step with you on your free Rapid Relief Lifeline call, where we help you navigate the emotional and logistical turbulence of separation and divorce. Visit rapidreliefcall.com to book your call.